Brothers and sisters, I intend to read and preach 1 Samuel 18 and the first 16 verses tonight, and I invite you to turn there. You may be quite content to simply listen as I read, but if you have it open, you'll have a head start when I begin to come back to it and refer it to your eyes as I preach. Just the first 16 verses tonight of 1 Samuel chapter 18. I beg your pardon. As I begin, you need to know what's just happened. It's obvious from the very first words of the chapter. Picture in your mind Saul, first having said to his general Abner, "Who is that boy?" Just on the heels of David's mighty defeat of Goliath. And then picture David standing in front of Saul, perhaps even with the head of Goliath still in his hand, answering Saul, "I am son of Jesse, a Bethlehemite." That's just happened. Now we're ready. Verse 1. As soon as he had finished speaking to Saul, the soul of Jonathan was knit to the soul of David. And Jonathan loved him as his own soul. And Saul took him that day and would not let him return to his father's house. Then Jonathan made a covenant with David because he loved him as his own soul. And Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was on him, gave it to David, and his armor, and even his sword and his bow and his belt. And David went out and was successful wherever Saul sent him, so that Saul set him over the men of war. And this was good in the sight of all the people, and also in the sight of Saul's servants. As they were coming home, when David returned from striking down the Philistine, the women came out of all the cities of Israel, singing and dancing to meet King Saul with tambourines, with songs of joy, and with musical instruments. The women sang to one another as they celebrated, "Saul has struck down his thousands, and David his 10,000s." And Saul was very angry, and this saying displeased him. He said, "They have ascribed to David 10,000s, and to me they have ascribed thousands. What more can he have but the kingdom?" And Saul eyed David from that day on. The next day, a harmful spirit from God rushed upon Saul, and he raved within his house while David was playing the lyre, as he did day by day. Saul had his spear in his hand, and Saul hurled the spear, for he thought, "I will pin David to the wall." But David evaded him twice. Saul was afraid of David because the Lord was with him, but had departed from Saul. So Saul removed him from his presence and made him a commander of 1,000. He went out and came in before the people. And David had success in all his undertakings, for the Lord was with him. And when Saul saw that he had great success, he stood in fearful awe of him. But all Israel and Judah loved David, for he went out and came in before them. This is the word of God. Amen. Goliath's fall was young David's catapult into the attention of a whole nation. You can well imagine it. This was Israel's version of Israel's Got Talent, and David had it clearly. He was a spectacle. News traveled quickly. Everyone knows his name. He's beginning to look like someone anointed to be king. What will the fallout of this be? Well, our author, 1 Samuel, wants us to know that, and wants us to know it very quickly. It begins to happen immediately. Did you notice? Actually, you would not have noticed verse 55 of chapter 17. I didn't read it, but you see there the words, "As soon as Saul saw David go out against the Philistine, he said to Abner, the commander of the army." Abner, whose son is this youth? As soon as, and then you see that expression again in the beginning of the chapter, as soon as he had finished speaking to Saul, the The soul of Jonathan was knit to the soul of David. Things are happening very quickly now. Saul has noticed David. And David, or rather Jonathan, has noticed David. And the fallout will be just as you would think, if you gave just a thought or two to it. This anointed one, in the Hebrew it's Messiah, will gain devoted followers among the people. But he will also gain the hostility, the suspicion, and the aggression of the authorities. Do you hear an echo? This will happen again. This is the way of God's anointed ones, his messiahs. Elder Malden read to us from the account where Jesus, on the road to Emmaus, gives his disciples in that period of time evidence of how all the scriptures had spoken of how Messiah must suffer. Some of us suspect that this was one of the passages, the Old Testament Messiah, or anointed one par excellence. He will suffer grievously at the hands of those he would displace. Well, David wins friends and implacable foes, and he learns that to be the anointed of God is to be both loved and hated. That's the very big picture that I want to continue to draw your attention to. But this evening, we're going to settle into some very practical reflection on basic realities of sin and grace portrayed in two figures, Saul and Jonathan. We're going to learn what we can of what is very clearly drawn for us about how both sin and grace are at work in the hearts of these men, not unlike ourselves as men, mere human beings. We're going to take up Saul first because that's the unpleasant part, and then we're going to conclude with Jonathan. And in both cases a study of two virtues or vices. Saul is going to present us a study in jealousy and in suspicion. Now, at the beginning, Saul and Jonathan seem to be of the same mind towards David. Saul gives him permanent employment in his house, verse 2 of the text, and eventually promotes him, we gather, to the highest place in his army. And in case you didn't catch it, there's a great deal of time that passes just in those 16 verses. David is promoted eventually to be head over the army, and he goes out and comes in before the people. He's, in other words, leading the armies of Israel again and again in successful campaigns against their arch enemies, the Philistines. This is with Saul's blessing. Saul sees in David something unusual. And so he promotes him like a Joseph promoted in Egypt. Well, what changes it all? Well, we read about it in verse 6. Again, Israel's equivalent to the Dixie Chicks. We read about them in verse 6 of our passage. Look at it with me. As they were coming home, when David returned from striking down the Philistine, the women came out of all the cities of Israel, singing and dancing to meet King Saul, with tambourines, songs of joy, and with musical instruments. So far, so good. Then they sing. And they sing to Saul of his thousands, and they sing to David of his 10,000s. Children, if you can read, I want you to look at verse 8 with me. Verse 8 says, "And Saul was very angry." This is Saul's jealousy. Children, I've had you in mind in particular as I've thought about Saul, not because you're wicked men like Saul is turning out to be, but because what's shown very large in Saul is something that you probably every day have to struggle with, and those around you see you struggling with that. The word is jealousy. Do you know what that is, children? Jealousy is the unhappy feeling that you have when you see someone else has something good that you don't. That's what jealousy is. It's an unhappy feeling. Saul gets angry, and this saying displeased him. He's feeling jealous. Now, some people think of jealousy as actually wanting what someone else has. And then those words jealousy and envy become used interchangeably. But jealousy doesn't even have to be wanting what that person has. It's most basically, children, listen, it's just being unhappy about the fact they have something better or more than you do. It's a very natural feeling. It's also a very sinful feeling. And Saul is going to show us this jealousy for page after page after page of 1 Samuel. If you children have any brothers and sisters, this is something that's a daily part of your life. Your parents try to be very fair, I'm sure. They try to give things to you evenly as much as they can, but there are always these times when one of you gets to enjoy something that the others aren't. And it makes us unhappy when that happens. It makes you unhappy, doesn't it? A lot of your unhappiness, children, is from this thing.